Today, on the first Sunday of Lent, the epistle is taken from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, we exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, in an accepted time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed. But in all things let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in prisons, in seditions, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in chastity, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in sweetness, in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Please rise for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter coming said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who answered and said, It is written, Not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, that he hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said to him, All these will I give thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus saith to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus far the words of this Sunday's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Ave Maria Purissima. Although we began our Lenten fast in midweek and on Ash Wednesday, so as to fulfill exactly 40 days of penitential observance, the Church originally began the Lenten liturgy on this Sunday, and thus remaining with 36 days of fasting if we exclude the Sundays. And commentaries, ancient commentaries on this number of 36, see it as a tithe, which is Old English for tenth, of our year that we give back to God, the 365 days that he gives us. And so we are called to be faithful to our Lenten penance, this fasting for 40 days, taking into account, as many of you have asked, perhaps more are wondering, why do we say Benedicamus Domino instead of Ite Missa Est? There was a permission given for an older practice in the Lenten and Advent liturgy. Well, it's instead of saying go, as if you are dismissed from your prayer, we rather turn towards the Lord and say, let us bless the Lord. And we will continue to bless him throughout this holy season, dedicated to fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. And so on Ash Wednesday, we contemplated our Lord's words that unless you do penance, you likewise shall perish. Okay, it's a promise. You can count on it. Okay, if you want to be certain of your condemnation, don't do penance. Okay, and perhaps we were left wondering why. I'll repeat those reasons. I've invented a corny acronym for you so that you never forget it. But why must we do penance for our salvation? You can think of the acronym of COPS, C-O-P-S. If you remember the amusing theme song to a show about police life and real cases, you'll recall that it began with bad boys, what you gonna do, okay? Who are the bad boys? We're the bad boys, because we're the sinners. What are we going to do? Penance, okay? COPS, C-O-P-S. We'll do penance first and foremost in imitation of Christ. Okay, again, that's what sanctity consists in, the imitation of Christ. We don't have to be philosophers. We don't have to understand abstract definitions. We have to imitate Christ, who, without sin, and no, neither original nor personal, does penance for 40 days. The beginning and end of our life, our spiritual life, is Christ. And shall we do this for love of him, to be united with him and his mission as Redeemer? And so we contemplate, as we contemplated on Quinquagesima, right, the last Sunday of preparation for Lent, even if I gave my body to be burned, all my goods to the poor in almsgiving, even if I fasted, or if I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Okay, we're not doing this to impress ourselves, to just set goals and achieve them and feel better about ourselves, boost our self-esteem, but rather for the love of Christ. Okay, C, Christ. Then O, for original sin. We have to do penance because we are wounded. We are not born with the integrity of our human nature. It has been wounded by original sin. We have a certain blindness in our minds, selfishness in our will, inclination to wrath in our irascible, strong passions, and towards sensuality in our concupiscible passions. Okay? We have this fourfold wound, as you obviously know, as St. Paul describes, I want to do what I shouldn't do, and that the also verified in the raising of a child who takes many, many years, in fact, a whole life, to reorder and restore order in the soul, which we have worsens yet more by our personal sins. So P, right? So Christ, original sin, personal sins. By our personal sins, we have further warped our soul, okay? And we have to do reparation for our offenses. So that's why we want to suffer during Lent, so as not to suffer eternally in the next life. Okay, it's a sign of our true love for God that we want to do penance and repair our offenses. And if you're worried about your debts of punishment, as there are many stories from the other side that saints have received of how long purgatory lasts and how many years of punishment for each mortal sin, all I can tell you for certain is that the saints also tell us is that one Mass, devoutly heard, is worth more than a year of fasting on bread and water. You think of all this on Fridays, we can gain this plenary indulgence, saying this prayer before a crucifix, after Mass, or making the Stations of the Cross where they're properly erected, the full remission of all of our temporal punishment. So make good use of this holy time and all and the mercy of the Church, as now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation. So we have to do a penance for our personal sins. Again, if we forget about original sin, we'll mistake disordered desires, even perverse ones, against our nature as if they were natural. Okay, it very much explains modern society. And lastly, S for supernatural. We have a supernatural end. And so we're going to do penance, even if we had no original sin, even if we had committed no personal offenses, we would still do penance. Why? Because we have here no lasting home. Okay, we're not made for any natural end. We're not made to just comfortably turn into a pile of dust. Okay, we have one supernatural end, and that's heaven. So we have to strive above our nature, hence mortifying it to a degree even our natural desires in favor of supernatural ones, possessing nothing, but so as to possess all things in God. And so we do penance for those reasons. C-O-P-S. And we do it by, as the Church recommends, by prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. Because if we wanted to analyze what are the three most common vices or those which ruin most souls, St. John describes it as the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Right? Covetousness, lust, sensuality, and pride. Okay? The themes of most pagan pop songs, in fact. Okay? And so, against covetousness, this inordinate desire to possess these perishable things of this world, obviously we should provide for our own and for the common good and for the future, yet with a holy detachment, begging our Lord for our bread, of our daily bread. And so, with an attachment, knowing that we brought nothing into this world and we'll take nothing out of it, we should practice almsgiving so as to do the contrary against covetousness. Likewise, we should practice fasting, so as to mortify the lusts of the flesh, of our sensuality. They're all connected, the desire, both the desire to procreate, to eat, to strong drink, and likewise to know, our desire to know. All of those can, as Our Lady of Fatima said, that souls are falling into hell like snowflakes due to sins of the flesh. And although fasting is not the greatest spiritual work, it is the first of our work in our spiritual life. But the saints tell us, if we don't mortify the flesh, forget about dedicating yourself to spiritual things. Okay? So we have sinned with our body, we are composed of a body and a soul, we have employed our body to sin, let us now employ it in penance so as to undo that harm, to deliver ourselves from those attachments. And lastly, against the pride of life, we have prayer, by which we acknowledge our dependency on God, especially thinking about the four last things, that we're simply creatures made for His glory, and tomorrow we die, and we will be judged accordingly. And so, I only wish to add on this day for your reflection the theme of temptation. It calls our attention, perhaps jarringly so, that our Lord was led by the Spirit into the desert to be permitted to be tempted by the devil. It should not come as a surprise to you as we began Lent contemplating, likewise, the fall of Adam and Eve. So God placed our first parents in paradise and allowed the devil to enter and to tempt them. So have it very clear in your mind that God wishes you to suffer temptation. He does not incline you to sin in any way, but there will be no reward without the test. Even for the angels, pure spirits, they were tested so as to enter into glory, and many of them failed. Our first parents likewise, even our Lord Himself, okay, was allowed to be tempted by the devil. So hence, our Lord wants us to suffer temptation, so as to prove our virtue and our love for Him, if it's the purpose of our life. And hence, St. James says, Blessed is the man who suffers temptation. For when he has been proven, he shall receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love Him. Okay? And again, I repeat it, it's perhaps obvious to you, but sometimes I think in our very comfy culture, we often think, well, if God loved me, He would just take away all my temptations and all my sufferings. Okay. Ecce homo, look at the cross. This is not God's plan for you. Okay. It wasn't His plan for His dearly beloved Son. And we in Him will receive this same love of being proven, okay, and have this chance to prove our love for God. St. Francis de Sales remarks, that is especially an opportunity for us to grow in dependence on God. Okay, to glorify Him. That was the Sexagesima theme, right? St. Paul, where, again, God did not take away the temptation of an angel of Satan that buffeted him, the thorn in his flesh. He wanted him to go through that, because virtue is made perfect in weakness. And so that he depended more on God and acknowledged God as his strength and his salvation, and not his own human effort. And again, I repeat it too, because likewise in our personal life, likewise in the raising of your children, you're trying to train them to be soldiers, prepared for battle in the church militant. We have the faith which conquers the world. Okay, our plan is not that of the Amish, to form some sort of closed, exclusive community of the elect. Of course, we want Catholic community, our fortress, but we are going out to conquer the world. And so that's important to remember, that innocence is only a virtue if it has been tried and proven. I mentioned that too, as next Sunday we'll take up a collection for our seminary, which oftentimes declines to receive a young man, perhaps at 18 years of age. Parents might say he's of a very innocent life and pious, but we want to make sure that he's proved in virtue, that he can go out into the world, as a priest is called to do, and to resist temptations and to be an influence, a sanctifying influence on the world. And so we should, St. Ignatius tells us that all things on the face of this earth, we can include temptation, are for us to grow in our knowledge, love, and service of God, as all things are working out for good, for the good of those who love God. Okay? And so, the first point I'll make then regarding temptation is we should distinguish temptation from sin. Perhaps it's obvious for many of you, for some it is not. And St. Teresa had said it was a very consoling realization when she was taught that there's a difference between your imagination and your feelings and your intellect and your will. Only with our will, with full knowledge and consent, can we sin. Okay? We have to know and choose so as to sin. It's an important distinction because temptation can arise from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in those who have most mortified their flesh and most and far away from the world, for example, Saint Jerome in the cave of Bethlehem, fasting so much that he could almost see his bones through his skin, he said he was tormented with sensual images in his imagination of the ballerinas in Rome. Likewise, the purest of saints, like Saint Catherine of Siena and most penitential, had their mind at times filled with the most disgusting and foul and blasphemous and impure images. And she recalls how she felt so terrible and ashamed when our Lord appeared to her. And our Lord told her that the very fact that she felt such repugnance was a sign that she never consented, right? That our Lord was in her soul to resist, help her resist those temptations. But he will allow us to suffer them. And you'll notice in the greatest saints, they suffer more. Blessed is the man who suffers temptation. And so, what should we do? So we, in an analyzing these steps, there's often a suggestion brought to the imagination, okay, from the world, the flesh, or the devil. There is then perhaps even an experience of a certain delectation or allurement towards it. Okay, but it's once we realize that that is wrong, and then we choose to reject it, or conversely, only when in realizing that it's a sinful object presented and choosing to consent to it, do we sin. Okay, so we've always experienced temptation, and that's good for us. What is our obligation before it? Obviously, to resist at the outset, to be vigilant and watch, as our Lord says, and to not just a passive resistance, but to make an act of displeasure that we reject this. Once we realize that it's something sinful, we do not want to consent to this. St. Alphonsus says, then think about the four last things. Would you change infinite goodness itself, eternal life, for some passing pleasure? Think about this. The pains of hell, the fear of God, St. Thomas says, helps perfect the virtue of temperance. Likewise, then, he says, pray to Our Lady, to your guardian angel, who is right beside you at every moment. Be conscious of that. Say a prayer to obtain that grace. And renew your purpose of amendment to die rather than to sin and offend God. And lastly, too, distract yourselves. Before many temptations, especially those of lust or of against the faith, we win that fight by flight, the saints tell us. If it could be an illusion, that something's not really there, but present it to your imagination, refocus, just distract yourself with something good, holy, or even indifferent, right? Especially the imagination's tired and it's seeking some sort of pleasure, give it illicit pleasure, to simply distract it, okay? As you give your child your keys, for example, so they don't destroy the house, okay? They give them something to play with, okay? I hope you can find your keys afterwards. So that's our duty before temptations. And St. Francis de Sales further mentions, and I very much recommend his Philotheia, where he comments on this, but he further recommends too, as St. John of the Cross did, we can mention it to our spiritual director. But again, I want you to understand that experiencing temptation is not a sin, okay? So it's not matter for confession. But especially when it's of diabolical origin, mentioning it to humble ourselves, the devil flees from humility and from that light of truth, okay? Likewise, if it's from the world or the flesh, we can give you a good counsel so that you don't fall into sin, okay? But it's not a sin itself. And he says, you know, do not argue with the enemy as well. Again, he's so much more intelligent than us. As we read today, he knows the scripture forward and backwards. And so we shouldn't engage him in some sort of debate. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Look, our Lord just commands him, be gone. Vade retro, as we say in the St. Benedict prayer, right? Get behind me, Satan. And lastly then, I would simply add what St. John of Avila mentions as, again, just this theme of our Lord wants us to suffer temptation. Even difficult temptations will be for our sanctification, to make us great in virtue. And he gives an analogy of that with that of pottery. He says, have you ever seen potters light their kilns, okay, their furnace, their oven? Have you noticed that thick, acrid smoke and the hell of fire which exists within? Who would ever think that the vessels within could ever be brought out except as ashes, or at least as black as pitch from the smoke? But when the fury has passed, the fire has been extinguished, and the kiln, the oven, emptied, you will see those same clay vessels brought out white and hard as rock. Those that were formerly brown are now as white as snow, fit to grace the table of a king. St. Paul calls us earthen vessels. God wishes to pass us through the kiln, the oven of temptation. Have patience. You are in the kiln of suffering. Make sure that you are not brought out broken. Those only break in the kiln of suffering who lose patience. Do not be faint-hearted. No matter how fiercely the devil may stoke the fires, no matter how he may persecute you, trust in God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.